Praise God. So God's got a train, and I'm on board, and you are too. And we want to talk about this most important part, a very serious and blessed part of living for God, and that is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If you would like to turn there, we're going to read the first five verses. You are so to God, will you stand in not an honor to me, but an honor to God that lives and abides forever. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 1, follow after charity. Those of us that have been reading our Bibles for a while know that's referring to love. And desire spiritual gifts, desire them. But rather that ye may prophesy. Verse 2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Verse 3, but he that prophesieth speaks under an inspiration. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. These are the three basic categories. When God's on you and you're saying things, it's not rebuke country. These are the three. There's no rebuke. Can you see rebuke and edification? Can you see rebuke and exhortation? These are the three categories or tributaries. You can go back and see what neighborhood were they prophesying in. See, verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. What does that mean? When we pray in the spirit, we're building ourselves. You ever have your battery run low? You've had to get your car started and you just have to rebuild your power in it. That's what happens when we pray in tongues. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Builds up. God is very interested in you and me flowing with him so that we can build the church up, build people up. It's not a tear down, it's a build up ministry. And it operates here in numerous people, and it's a beautiful thing. I thank God for it. It's a wonderful, wonderful operation. Verse 5, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. Again, watch this, that the church may receive edifying. You know, that's just a great question to live by, is what you're doing, would it edify the church? If we saw what you were doing. If Jesus saw it, well, he does, you see. Is what we're doing or saying where we're going? Somebody said it this way, Jasmine. If you were put on trial for being a Christian, friends to convict you, cheer up. There would be with you. cheer up. You look like you beat up child. You're living for God and the Holy Ghost is on you. Lift your hand. Let's thank God for your joy. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us and helping us. We wouldn't have anything without you. Thank you, Lord, so much for your people. Give us light. Give us understanding. It shall be so in Jesus' name. Clap your hands to the Lord. That's one of the reasons why I love coming to church. We have so much fun here. We really do. Look at verse 1 again from King James. Then I want to give it to you. And the Amplified Classified. So it's the old classic Amplified, okay? So verse 1 again, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, you may prophesy. From the Amplified Classic, okay, AMPC. Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest, and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments, gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Interpret the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching. All right, you may be seated. God bless you. Y'all look awesome. We're gonna throw some statements up to help you make it a little easier. And yes, feel free to bring your name up. I want to get this off as far as I can. And then if you need further help, please, we're here to be a blessing. And that's one of my passions, nutrition. Prophesy. It just basically means inspired utterance. Don't complicate prophecy. The gifts of the Spirit are not complicated. He never meant for them to be complicated. Spirit, I like to call it Holy Spirit prompted speech. It operates here, and it's awesome. I have a second definition. Okay? To predict with assurance or on the basis of spiritual knowledge, or spiritual impression, okay? to predict with assurance or on the basis of spiritual knowledge or spiritual impression. Just know this, you can prophesy most of the time. I don't think most prophesying is not predictive. So write that down. Most prophecy is not predictive. And I'll explain it. Most prophecy is not predictive. As in, if you feel anointed to say something, usually you're not telling somebody their future. But once in a while, that element could be there. And that's in that second definition, to predict, because you have a spiritual impression on the basis of a spiritual knowledge that you have in God. It can become predictive. I know of a church where they were having a church meeting, and somebody got up and gave an anointed utterance, and it was basically, get out of the building. I forget how they said it, but they quickly moved the people out of the building, and a tornado came and blew the church to pieces. And it was an anointed word from somebody who just jumped up and gave it. They knew it was in the Holy Ghost, and it got the people organized, marshaled, and out the door and away from the building, and boom, saved all their lives with one prophetical statement. Well, there's a lot that can hang on being sensitive to the Holy Ghost. My brother was, Bruce is just, I was just talking to him, the other guy, before the whole, and he was sleeping one day, and his wife, Mary, my sister-in-law, was driving. And Bruce, okay, so my brother is sleeping, right? And all of a sudden, he comes out of a dead sleep and yells, "Stop!" Well, when she looked up, a deer was right in front of the car. The omniscient God knew that if somebody didn't get Mary's attention and that she was about ready to take. Anybody ever hit a deer? You know what they can do to a vehicle? A lot of folks never survive it themselves if it comes through the windshield, antlers and all. So out of a deep sleep, like a prophetical word, one word, stop. Stop the brakes. And just, that was in front of the power of being sensitive to God, even in your sleep. Okay, so most prophecy, though, is not predictive. It is inspired. Just inspired. Okay, like inspired by the Spirit of, inspired presence of God, inspired by. And we have, it works here. It works in many of us, if not all of us. It can work in all of us. Because he says in this chapter, if you want to, you all can prophesy. He even says covet. He commands us. Do you know that it's hard to find something that God will tell you to covet, but he does tell you to covet to prophesy. Most things, it's like, don't covet that. Don't desire that too strongly. But when it comes to spiritual gifts and prophecy, he says, covet to prophesy. It does that much good when people know how to work with it. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. I have been so blessed. I'm going to tell you, when people get up, even young people, and they're just learning what this is, but God's using them. You don't have to be an old timer. You don't have to be Methuselah to be used of God. Say, well, and I'm 82. All right, now he'll move on you now and anoint you to say something to somebody. He'll lead you to witness to a person, and you'll think, I don't have it. I can't. I'm not used to witnessing to people like that. You know, he's a hybrid. He's a Harvard graduate. You know, he's a brainiac. I'm not used to, and you say, okay, Lord, I'll do it, but you're going to have to put words in my mouth because I don't want you to know. And you're sitting there having lunch, and you go to open your mouth, and all of a sudden you're saying stuff, and you're wondering where it's coming from. I don't tell you where it's coming from. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. God will put words in your mouth. It'll blow your mind, and it'll blow theirs as well. Lift your hand and thank God for that. That's a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. It's real. Praise God. Covet to prophesy. Covet to speak under an inspiration. Wonderful God. Most prophecy is not predictive. Okay, in other words, most inspired utterance is not predicting something. It can, but most of it isn't that. From our experience, I hate to say this, but open in some of this stuff. Okay, but when it is predictive, you have to be doubly careful. You have to be extra careful because you can mess people's lives up if you miss it. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, I had somebody very, as a matter of fact, he preaches revivals, he moves in the Holy Ghost, very, very gifted. Spoke over myself and my wife several years ago. And most of it never happened. I'm not saying it couldn't, you know, if I could just live 120 years, you know, I'm not saying it, but I ain't getting no, I'm not getting younger. And but I appreciate it, but he did hit it a point or two that did turn. So, there were big things that he said over us, and the thing is if you walk with God, that you don't get bitter when somebody misses it. Don't ever act like you can't miss it, because that's arrogance, and God will let you miss it several times in a row just to keep you humble. He'll let you miss it a number of times just to keep you humble, because all of us, any of us can miss it. But to be used of God in inspired speech, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So I like to say, stay teachable. Stay teachable, because God will use you. God's using a bunch of our people in this fashion. I love it. I'm one of your cheerleaders, but I'm also one of your coaches. We want to, this train runs on tracks. We want to keep the train on the tracks. It always does better. That train, you know, if it could talk, it could say, I'm so tired of these ridges. Anybody ever walk on railroad tracks beside Pastor? I mean, if I fall, that's the kind I like, type road. But that train, if it had a voice, it could say, I am so tired. You know, train tracks are not made out of oatmeal. I mean, that's steel, right? I mean, it's sturdy stuff, right? That train could say, you know what? I'm tired of being confined by these guidelines. I am so sick and tired of... But this train is bound for glory, and it runs on tracks. It runs on tracks. And if this train said, you know, I'm feeling rebellious today. I don't think I need any guidelines. I don't think I need any rules. I don't think I need any principles. And it took a vacation from the tracks, it would shortly be in a wreck. It would not get very far. First of all, it would endanger the lives of those that were aboard. Okay, like somebody said, up in the air with planes and so on, nobody takes moral holidays from the principles of flight. You submit yourself to the principles. You don't break them or you kill yourself. We are flying. We have services here. It blows my mind. Come on. Hey, we do. Listen, we have some services here. Do you know what? We are blessed. I like the Holy Ghost to move in this house. I love the moving of the Spirit of God. You know this is true. In one moment, in a millisecond, one touch from God can change your life. We believe in the manifestation of the gifts. We believe in the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. He wants to bring us even more manifestation. But we've got to reverence Him and do things in order, hallelujah, and keep the tracks up, because this train runs on tracks. We're not crazy. We're not trying to be bizarre. Zandy, you know, we've had a year or two ago, I mean, had sharings of stories and places where things went kind of crazy. You can be anointed, can be quickened crazy. You don't have to be a creature. It's a little wild on Wednesday night. I calm down by Sunday. Sometimes. Now, I don't want to blow you up. I don't want to pop your bubble. But I'm going to say this. It starts here. No one is infallible. No, Mr. Pope, you aren't. I'm sorry. To Rome, because they teach that he's infallible. That's not true. That's not taught in Scripture. That's not in your Bible. And by the way, I can teach the new birth from a Catholic Bible easily. I've handled them that many times. So, hey, nobody's infallible. No matter how gifted you are, you can miss it. We had a guy that was so gifted that came to our, and I love him to this day. I check on him from time to time to make sure he's okay. Once he got sick, I drove down to his town. Real Holy Ghost. When he was preaching in a church, and I don't think it was one of ours, but he was moving in a word of knowledge, and he could pick up the unbelief of a certain few people, maybe several, right? So he thought, I think they need a demonstration. Paul said, my speech and my preaching, enticing words, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So he pulled out 10 men. He said, I'm going to tell you what brand of cigarette you're smoking. I'm going to tell you how many cigarettes are in the pack that's in your pocket. He proceeded. That's why I had to tell you it wasn't our church, because he probably would have had to go a ways to find 10 that were, okay, they'd been delivered, all right. And he proceeded to pull them out, tell them the brand of their cigarette and how many they had in their pack. And they blanched. They went white as a sheet. He released them to go sit down, and they were all ears all the way, the rest of the way. They were. This Holy Ghost business is real. Okay. So I know of a vessel, a gentleman greatly used, who has a large family. His wife was expecting. She was expecting. This man greatly used in rebel, what we call the rebel. And he prophesied the gender. Now you only get two choices. The world wants to tell you three. There aren't. No. Just two. The male and female. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I'm sorry. I just had to throw that in there. Okay, I'm sorry. Help me, Jesus. I'm sorry. I got to behave. Okay. Yeah, come on now. Even in your humor, you can make a point. So he prophesied, at least I put quote unquote, that he was going to have two girls born. They were definitely not girls. Again, you have only two choices. And so if you see his family, and they're all musical, and they're all, but a man heavily gifted, predicted. See, he got into predictive speech. When you get out there in predictive speech, you almost need, and we're going to talk about that, because I encourage people when the Lord uses you, he's going to. Because we have a gifted congregation. We have a gifted congregation. Run it by, Pastor. At the very least, run a text by me so that the scriptures teach this. But we're not there yet, but the scriptures definitely teach that. Okay, so those tracks, this train runs on tracks. Those tracks are protective. Those tracks are not, but the train are protective, because once the train gets off the tracks, it's really in trouble. There is no record of a train doing great once it got off. See, just like they said, there's no senator that's served in the Senate 25 years, 30, that ever became a president. Study this. Nobody thought. Know why? It's because they've got so many years in the Senate, that's probably what they are, a senator, not a president. Because a president's got to be stronger, bolder, more precise, Mr. Biden, good memory. You're in Iowa, not Ohio. You're in South Carolina, not North Carolina. Something less than 10,000 gaffes, really, if you're going to be president, right? 5,000, 3,000 of gaffes. That won't fly as a president. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. We have King Jesus, and he don't make gaffes. He doesn't make mistakes, and you can trust his word, and his memory works. Oh, praise God. In Jesus' name, I'm. And by the way, all that being said, I'm kind of proud of how Joe Biden has bounced back from big constellation of deplorables. I mean, nobles. Hillary, quit it, Hillary. We're all deplorables in admitting that view. Okay, so now, here's an important principle. How could he have missed it? The moment we get arrogant, the moment that we think we can operate in this without his anointing, we're in trouble. Remember this, anointing comes out of intimacy. Anointing comes out of intimacy. If you want to be, I was talking about when it comes to the encouragement. I look forward to it sincerely, and it's a beautiful thing. We have some really neat things happening. Okay, so here is the principle up and down the page. The gifts operate under God and the ministry. Why are you saying that? Because sometimes in certain places, people have tried to misuse the gifts and tried to tell the pastor, tried to be sensitive. Okay, how can you prove, Pastor, that the gifts operate out the spoke gifts? Three different sets of three gifts we're dealing with. Okay. But how can you prove that? Well, here's my first proof. You ready? 1 Corinthians 14, the entire chapter was written by a preacher to tell us how to keep on the tracks, which tells me that the gifts are the ministry. 1 Corinthians 14 was inspired by the Holy Ghost, but written by an apostle. And the gifts are managed, organized, and kept on track by the ministry. The gifts are underneath God in the ministry. Now, we're not to mess them over. We're not saying that. I'm just saying way up here somewhere. Years ago, many years ago, I was just a little guy, so I couldn't fully appreciate this. There was something that came through the Northwest, and it was called the latter rain. Anybody? The latter rain. Okay, now there is. Joel prophesied a latter rain in the last days. That's awesome. We have no problem with Joel chapter 2. But there was a movement in my neck of the woods where I live. Born in Idaho. Used to be an Idaho spud. Now I'm a commentator. Thought I'd tell you. See if you can keep up with me. You've heard of the Tater family, right? Dictator. Okay. So now I'm just a commentator. But it happened. I think it came down. The first part of it was genuine. It was real. But they got off into extremes. And it was called the latter rain. It scared a lot of people. We had 9 churches in the area where I come from, and 8 of them. It was a movement of extremes. And they were mission to anybody. Submission is protection. When I say submission, I don't mean craziness, abuse. I'm talking about just godly submission. It's a protection. Your kids are submitted to you, and you protect them. You would do anything to protect your kids. And many of you demonstrate that every day. You'd go to battle. You charge hell with a water pistol to protect your kids. And rightly so. But you're over them. They're submitted to you. If they're not, they're probably in trouble right now. And God bless our kids and our young people. Because they're just amazing. I'm very biased about her. I love them. God forbid. I would. Jesus, I'm sorry. I know there's a ministry of the martial arts. And I just... Okay, so in this latter rain movement, they ignored principles. I hope you write this down. It's not up there. They might want to put it up. Jesus builds his church on principles. His church on principles. And in the latter rain, it got extreme. Nobody was submitted to anybody. And they were so-called prophesying, over, telling them they were missionaries to China. And God never called them to China. It messed them up. I'm just saying it's possible to miss it. So the best illustration of the truth that the gifts are under the ministry, the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 14 is written by telling us what the guidelines are for the giftings, which tells me they're first under God. Praise God. All right. So I've been around some fireplaces. I have. It's a blessing. Is your house as cold as mine? Things I do. Run out and... Thank you, Jesus. Cold. It feels like Anchorage up here. My fireplace. And then she bought me a robe. Dude, it's so thick, I could make snowshoes out of it. It's crazy thick. I put on this big old blue, and I walk around, man, I'm sweating. Whoa, Jack, we're getting this place heated up. Okay, but I got that fireplace. And I got a bunch of things over there. I got a bunch of nutrition. So I got a little treasure shop. They're getting hot, baby. See, fire has a place. And when it's in its place, namely, i.e., the fireplace, it's probably going to be all right. But when the fire gets outside, see, of that structured environment known as the fireplace, then we have troubles and problems. What we're trying to say is, don't put the fire out. Oh, don't put the fire out. Let the fire fall. I still pray that. Let the fire fall. Praise God. Lift your hand and let's say it together. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. I don't, the answer is not putting the fire out. It's keeping it in the fireplace, a place of structure, a place of principles, because this train, see, runs best on tracks, and Jesus builds his church on principles. Woo! So don't shut down or throw away the fire. Just keep it in the fireplace. You have been used of God. How many of you lately, you felt like the Lord moved on you to maybe even say something? I mean, it could be out there with the folks that you work with. Okay, lift your hand again. How about you get in a service and the Spirit of God moves on you? Okay, you see, you probably have already started. Sometimes just they're praying. I'll say, pray for them and say everything. That's fine too. But I know he's talking to them for them. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll listen to more in the spirit than I used to. And I'll hear names called out. I've heard the names of cities called out in tongues. I've heard other words. I hear Spanish that I've forgotten. And I've heard Spanish I've never learned. How do you know? Well, I hear things like el mundo, el no, the world, the name. I hear words that I do know. And surrounding it are other Spanish words that I've never learned. This Holy Ghost business is real. This Holy Ghost business is real. You have an anointing on you. I want to encourage you, but I want you to stay humble, because if you can't be teachable, you don't have the humility it takes to move in the gifts. Because there are days when you will be embarrassed, not because you missed it, but because maybe it didn't happen like you thought it would. And that's another thing. You can say something, be right on, but what they didn't know, Brother Cornwell said, get ready. You know, I believe Brother Cornwell is not only my pastor, he's also a prophet, right? He's got a little forgot how, but he says things by inspiration. He told me a few years back, Brother Welch, he said, get ready. Okay, lay it on me. He said, get ready. There's going to be, what did he say? But it was 2 years before it happened. And when it happened big time. But he saw it in the Holy Ghost. And then he also saw the place. And he saw the opposite. It was not like the direction. And he saw the opposite. And he was worried for them. So you heard me start saying, get ready. Sister Chastity got up here. You belong here. I think she painted it, didn't she? Sister Chast did. You belong here on the wall there. Did anybody remember Pastor getting up and saying, get ready. God's going to bring people here. Raise your hand if you can remember me saying that a number of times. Get ready. I would say it, and you guys would remind me of a frog on a lily. You know, like, oh, sure, doc, right, sure, doc. I'm sorry. But some of them believe me, right? Some of them believe. Anyway, it happened, and it's not done yet. What are you saying? He wants to bring in new people. He wants to bring in people that are maybe wounded or hurting or whatever. He wants to bring them here. This is a hospital. This is a hospital. It's for hurting people. We love Jesus and we love people. But the man of God prophesied to me and he told me some other things. But that was one of them, but it was 2 years. And sometimes when you say something, if it's predictive, be careful, because there might be a year or 2 years or 3 years in between your statement and when it happens. Didn't mean you lied. You just didn't have the full picture. They wrote, you didn't have the full picture of the time sequence. That's okay. God sometimes doesn't show you that so he can keep us humble. Right? But there were things written by the prophets and they thought, whoo, Messiah's coming, right? It was going to be hundreds of years in the future. But they were writing like it's going to happen tomorrow. You understand what I'm saying? God has his own way and his own timetable. But it's real. You have the Holy Ghost. Get under an anointing. Let God use you. Stay. Keep your fire in the fireplace. Keep your tree lined up with principles. Humble yourself. Stay teachable. Stay coachable. And God is going to use you to bless a lot of people because you are trainable. You are growing. God is not done with you. And people need to hear the word that he's given to you. I wish somebody would jump up and dance right now. Woo! It's awesome. It's awesome. Lord, your dealings. I want to be sensitive. Oh, keep standing and claim this. I want to be sensitive as we soften the lights. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I want to be sensitive to the voice of God. I want to be sensitive to inspired speech. And I want to understand, Lord, hallelujah, that if I stay humble, if I fly low, falling hurts least those who fly low. Hallelujah. Stay humble. Give him the glory. Give him the glory. Give him the praise. He wants to use you as a word. He wants to use you to give a rhema word. Praise God. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Oh, praise God. Lord, we are humbling ourselves. Lord, today and in the service Sunday, you want to use us. This is not just a reference to preaching and teaching, and God, thank you for that. But God wants to use you in prayer when you pray for people. I have confidence in the Holy Ghost. Some places are very reticent to let this work. I'm not one of them. I love Hatiakimpro. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost if you can. Lord Jesus, we release ourselves in the Holy Ghost. Lord, I believe you. You said they were coming and they came. Lord Jesus, we just sometimes don't see the timetable. Sometimes, Lord, we get lost. Oh, Lord, in all of the preamble, Lord, in all of the machinations, and Lord God, all of the complexities sometimes of life. Hallelujah. Praise God. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Jesus. Be used. You can walk in this. You can walk in this. We believe in this. This is going to honor God. God will use you in a prophetical word. God will use you in something that he wants to put in your mouth to speak to somebody. Because you're living for him. You're praying. You're seeking him. And you're doing what's right. And you're growing in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Don't complicate it. It's not complicated. But just keep yourself under coaching. Keep yourself under teaching. Hallelujah. Keep yourself humble. God can get the glory. It's not about us. It's about him. Wonderful God. In the name of Jesus, I have felt anointings move across the face of my life when I was been preaching and teaching anointings. There are many different shades, many different tints and hues and colors. What do you want God to use you in? I would to God he'd use you in the gifts of healing. I would to God he'd use you in the supernatural gift of faith. Hallelujah. We need everything God can do in you and through you. Praise God. We're just going to keep the fire burning brightly, but we're going to keep in its place. We're not going to run away with it. We're going to let it burn in us and burn around us. so we can be on fire for God. We can be emboldened to speak His word. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. See, it's turning over. We can't hardly do anything in this sanctuary. All of a sudden, something lights. It's like lighting the pilot light. Hallelujah. We're in a move of God, and there's more coming. I'm prophesying with my eyes open. There's more coming. There's more manifestation. There's more power. There's more of the glory of God coming. If we keep organized and we keep humble and we keep sweet and we keep praying and we keep leaning into Jesus for His help, He's going to anoint us and use us beyond. Oh, ho, ho. Somebody, you feel that, step out in the aisle. You feel that. You sense that He's going to anoint you beyond what you would normally do or say. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some of you have an amazing prayer ministry. You can work in this in your prayer ministry. You already do, really. Amen. You'll be praying for somebody and you feel impressed to say something in the Spirit of the Lord to them. I worship you, Lord. If you feel a strong word for somebody, don't be afraid to run that by pastor. Very seldom do I shut anything like that. Almost never, actually, because now the Holy Ghost is working. Amen. Don't be afraid to run it by us. If somehow you couldn't hold on to it and you already gave it, okay, put it in a text and just, Brother Aaron, do we work in this? I know Aaron is gifted. Jasmine, aside on, but he'll send me a text, or I'm sorry about this, and he'll share with me utterances that he felt. And those of you that have been prayed by Aaron, you know how sensitive he is. And, I remember there was a few years, and they were used prophetically a lot, and they would do the same thing. They'd send me. I remember this one time I was going down that text, and I agreed with everything. Awesome. One of the last ones was something that they said, female, and take charge. And I said, oops, you can't afford to say that to her. Because Attila the Hun will come out, Charlemagne will rise from the dead. Don't say, get up and take charge to a woman who already has a problem. No, I believe that God will raise up women to be leaders. Look at this amazing gal here, the first lady. She's amazing. I'm just saying, I felt one caution. And so I shared it. I wouldn't say that to, it's about a precious person. They're not in. Okay, so you don't have, oh, is it me? Oh, I'm going to go to the elder priesthood, speak in tongues 6 hours because it's probably me. They're not here. But precious, love them dearly. It's just that this was their unit for their own good. Prophesy. You need to get up and change. So I just said, oh, everything is great. What are you afraid of? I'm here to protect you. Thing to say to a person like us was awesome. I sell them the right to. Here's the verse as we close. Okay, you ready for it? Here's the verse. 1 Corinthians 14:29 in the King James says, let the prophet speak two or three. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. So here it is from the Amplified Classic. Ready? So let two or three prophets speak, those inspired to preach or teach, while the rest pay attention and weigh, discern, is said. We have a right to discern, weigh, and to judge as spiritual leaders. Is said, so everything has. They got a word right. It was a young minister in our church back in Virginia. Good man, a preaching machine, really. And they went and delivered it to somebody, and they never brought it by us. We lost two families because they thought God supposedly gave them. Stopped by the bishop's desk to just make sure that everything was in order. Who loved us and loved our church got up, and we lost two because somebody messed up and didn't get their little inspiration checked by leadership above them. Keep the fire in the house. You take it out of it and burn that same house. And let's ask God for that wisdom in closing. Lord Jesus, give us insight. Woo, hallelujah. Go ahead, let the Holy Ghost pray in you. That's what tunes us up. Wonderful God. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Woo, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the manifestation of the spoken gifts. Thank you for the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. We have room. We love the manifestation of the presence of God. We honor you, Lord. We esteem you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We reverence you, Lord. We want everything that you want to give us, God. But you're trying to also, Lord, give us tracks to run on, because this train runs on tracks. Oh, praise God. Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful God, in Jesus' name. In closing, I almost feel like I need to do part two. We'll see with how the Lord leads us. But I wish somebody would have told me some of this. Most of the things we've learned, it was in the School of Hard Knocks, Class Colors School theme song. You think you've graduated from that school. So, Father, as we leave the building, in faith that God's going to use you this week, Lord, anoint us in speech and thought. Anoint us as we go forth this week. It might be a phone call. It might be an encouragement. It might be just light, a piece of understanding. Lord Jesus, we claim that anointing. We're going to work in this, and you're going to help us. For it's unto you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. It's unto you we serve, and it's we serve. Use us, I pray, to be sensitive where we walk, where we work, where we dine, Lord. Oh, yes, in the name of Jesus, it shall be so.